friends, we will begin with chapter 2, that is the self-help groups and their linkage with the banking system. In the first part, in the first chapter, we dealt with the financial inclusion. Then there I said, the microfinance is being provided by two routes. One route is through self-help groups and the other route is through joint liability groups. In both the routes, we try to link with the banking system. And therefore, these two separate chapters will be there. Now, in this chapter, we shall be focusing more on the self-help groups to understand their niceties, actually. Because in the first chapter, what we tried to get was, get the pulse of the situation. What are the groups? How they are working? What is the experience of the three decades of the SHG movement in this country? Now, what we are going to try in this chapter is to understand more niceties, understand more dimensions of the whole movement. 30 years is not a small period for any institution. See, these groups have also gone through the three decades of movement. Let us understand their minor dimensions also, and we can use it. Ultimately, the point is ensure the financial access. Ensure that they get access to the credit, access to the savings, access to the insurance, remittances, all those financial services, what we referred in the first chapter, that happens. This picture is showing you basically, earlier also we showed you a similar picture where this record keeping is going on. What we are going to do in this whole chapter is something we will try to understand the concept little more dimensions. What is the background of this movement, why it started three decades back. There is always a view that are they similar to PACS, Primary Agricultural Credit Societies, or are these different from that institution? That is the kind of debate which always comes to the mind of the students who pursue this course. So that will be one more dimension we'll be looking to it. Who are the stakeholders? I told you earlier also that there are various stakeholders who are associated with this movement. There are different models of linking the self-help groups to the banking system. What are those models? How the things work in those models? We shall see that. Role of NABARD. NABARD is basically a kind of apex financial institution which provides three or four major supports to the SHG movement. One, they provide a refinance support to the banking system. Secondly, they provide a grant support for promotion of the SHGs. Third, it helps in the policy formulation, which is very important. And for this, they go for some kind of refinements in the whole program as the program is moving on. We'll try to understand some of the milestones in the three decades. Three decades is a long period, as I said, for any institution. And what are the important milestones? Maybe we'll give you this some kind of, you know, important ones when we move through this presentation. We will try to understand the progress. The progress is in two ways. Spatial in the sense, what happens across the states. And second, the temporal progress. Over a period of time, how the movement has taken place. Then we shall look to graduation of SHGs. What is the concept of graduation of SHGs? That we will try to understand. Graduation could be in two ways. One could be in terms of the guys who open the individual accounts. One. Second, graduation could be initiating the enterprise itself. Ultimately, we expect these people to get the credit support and start their own economic activities so that they join the mainstream. We shall also look to some of the impact. We already dealt with this, some kind of, you know, impact, but we shall have some more dimensions how this work. We'll see. What are the concerns in this whole program? There are concerns. What are those concerns? And the last part will be, what is the way forward for the SHG movement? Three decades are over. Where I look forward, you know, that's the kind of, so these are the kind of points on which we shall see the presentation. Let me begin with it. You know, I narrated the concept. Please remember, now we shall have more niceties. These are the small groups which are up to 20%. Remember, these are all the informal groups. They are not registered under any act. I'm repeating these words. They are the informal groups. They are the socio-economically homogeneous groups. That's a very important thing we have to understand. Economically, they are more homogeneous. And that is the dimension which is putting this movement to the success, actually. Economically, they are homogeneous. The socially, they could be diverse. There could be different diverse dimensions for the social factors, but economically they are homogeneous. Socially, if you understand it, it's something that the caste, creed, something we should get it, but they could be different in social aspect, but economically they are homogeneous. These are the groups which are formed voluntarily. That's another dimension we should get it, you know. They join for the collective purpose. Collective purpose is what? First is the savings and then credit. Now, this is the difference between the joint liability groups and the self-help groups here. In the joint liability groups, the major purpose is the credit. But in case of SAGs, the main purpose is promote the savings. So the savings precede the credit actually. Third, there is no insistence on formal collateral for loans from the banking system. There is no end use of loan and all those things are not insisted here. The what purpose the loans are given, we shall see quickly. But maybe the loan could be for consumption purpose, the loan could be for productive activities, the loans could be even for repaying the earlier loans. They might have taken the loans from the informal sources. They can repay by borrowing from the banking system. That is also a purpose which is allowed here. Basically, these groups have very high level of recovery. If you ask me what is the current recovery, I'll put it something like 90 plus. 90% plus is the recovery of these groups. Why this is good? That's a question which comes to logically to our mind. The important answer is it's a peer pressure. These people come together, as I said, economically they are homogeneous. They come together. They have a peer pressure actually. In case somebody doesn't pay the loan, the group goes to the individual and requests him to pay the loan to the banking system. Basically, here I said, we create a social capital which is created through the networking of the group members. This is very important, the belongingness of these people to the group actually. Some of the groups I've seen, even they wear the same color saris, you know, just to show that that is identity or there is a unity among the group members. There is a networking and that networking helps them to create the social capital. The social capital helps them to have a, something like a peer pressure and ultimately recovery to the banking system. That is very important. These are the repetitions. But as I said, I will give you some kind of, you know, final dimensions. For example, normal membership could be up to 20. But in the Healy tracks or in case of disabled members, the relaxations are provided as far as the size is concerned. Please remember, normal size may vary from 10 to 12. But in case of hilly regions or northeastern states, there is a provision to give a relaxation. Even the five people can join together and form a group. Basically, they are, as I said, they are socioeconomically homogeneous. More homogeneity on economic front. That puts them together with the group. That homogeneity on economic front allows this group to continue, because this is very important dimension, that what we have to do is not only to promote the groups, but the groups continue actually. And that is possible only if there is an economic homogeneity. Some of the features of these SAGs, as I said, basically these are the women from the neighborhood. Around their surroundings, these people join and form the groups. These are identified by themselves. They are not trusted membership. Please understand this word. There is not imposed membership on the group. It is these are the people who come together. Basically, they have a participatory process. They come together on their own. They form the group. They go for internal lending. They go for kind of, you know, linkage with the banking system. Ultimately, they repay the loans. So all these functions, all these group functions, they do it. But please remember, these are informal groups. Basically, these are two functions, you know, savings and credit. But the third one, which is important, is social networking. They come together, they share their experiences actually. And that is a very important thing which creates a human capital among the group members. You know. One is the physical capital, which is created through credit. But the human capital is also created through kind of sharing of experiences through training. The training is the informal training here I'm referring. Through sharing of experiences, they develop their own human capital, undertake the economic activity, prosper, and join the mainstream of the economy. What are the sources of funds for these groups? You know, basically, as I said, that is the savings of the groups. One, Secondly, these groups, as I said, they give a loan to their own members. Now, they borrow at 10%, for example, from the banking system. They will give loans to the groups at 24%. So the difference between 10 and 24, they are using it for creating their own corpus, actually. The interest differential between the loan at which they, the rate at which they take the loan and the rate at which they give the loan, that interest differential helps these groups to build a capital over a period of time. They get the loans from the banking system, as I said. Then they, in terms of the legal status, again, I'm repeating, they are not registered under the Cooperative Societies Act or under the Companies Act. So they are the informal associations. This is what we should remember. Please remember, they are informal. But this is an important dimension we have to understand, that these groups are recognized by the banks for linking them with the banks. Otherwise, informal groups are not normally lent by the bank. But in case of SHG, this is the Reserve Bank of India's decision to accept these groups as informal groups and extend the loans to them by the banks. I'm continuing with the features, because there are a lot of features we have to understand. These are the associations of the people who are, as I said, they are recognized by the banking system for opening the accounts. The groups are self-selected. They are the self-selected, they are self-identified members. No imposition takes place, no compulsion is there on joining the groups. Now, who does this work of social mobilization, forming these groups? So, basically the non-governmental organizations, they join this process of promoting the groups and linking with the banking system. Please remember, these groups have even their own bylaws. The groups develop their own bylaws and they facilitate the operations. They have their bylaws, they are known to the members, they do adhere to the bylaws. Of course, please let me tell you at this stage, they don't have a formal auditing, but they can have an informal audit by another group. Please remember this difference. They have the bylaws, they do follow the bylaws which are evolved, which facilitate the operations of the group. They don't have a formal accounting, but maybe an informal audit does happen between the groups to ensure that the bylaws which are there, they are respected and the groups are on a sound footing. The governance process is very important. Once any institution, this is the institution, please remember, the institution has a president, the institution has a secretary, the institution has a treasurer. Now, president, secretary, treasurer. These three positions are there for each group. Now, these are selected by the group member themselves. The group decides who should lead the group, who should act as a secretary, and who should be a treasurer. So this is what the group decides. There is nothing like a banker imposes. No, nothing. They decide on their own. As far as the management of these groups are concerned, these groups, they maintain their own books of accounts. Please remember, as I showed you the very first picture of that group, which they were maintaining their own books of accounts. Sometimes the accounting can be even outsourced if there is no literate member in the group and the group feels the necessity that there somebody has to be hired in for writing the books. There is a provision that these groups can have a kind of, you know, hiring of the books agents who will write the books on behalf of the group. Basically, as I said, the audit is undertaken by the informal way, by the another group, by the another informal group. Please remember, there is no formal audit as far as the SCGs are concerned. Basically, I told you, we have three models, you know. SCG and their linkage with the banking system, we have three models. In the first model, I have written those, you can see the slide, but in the first model, what happens is the NGO promotes the groups. The bank finances the group. These are two different functions, promotion of the groups and financing. So in case of the first model, the NGO promotes the groups, the bank finances the group. The second model, NGO plays the role of the promoter as well as financer. Both the roles are played by the NGO. That's the second model. The third model is bank promotes and finances the groups. So we have seen three models. First, social mobilization is done by the NGO, but Financing is done by the banks, first model. Second model, where the NGO does both the functions. NGO promotes the groups and finances the groups. Third, where the banks promote the groups and finances too. Most common model. You will be wondering. The first model is very common. The model is second? No. It is the first model. First model, what happens? NGO promotes the groups. The social capital is created by the NGO. The bank finances the groups. That is the model which is very popular. First model. Second, third model are in existence. But a large number of groups, they are under the first model. Where the NGO has a role, banks have the role. NGO does the social promotion, social mobilization. Banks does the financing, you know. Basically, who are the promoting agencies, you know? Who can promote these groups? That's a question which comes. Because this is very important. The social mobilization or promotion of groups is very important. Who does this role? One, undertake the formation of SHGs and federations. The role will be even training these groups. Because these are the people who are not associated with the banking system. So they are first time they get exposure to the banking system. So they need a training. They need the training to remain even united, and the group continues, the group remains active. The activities of the groups have to be monitored, you know. They enable the SHGs to have the access from the banking system. There is a need for, you know, there is a need for federations. Now the federation issue is coming up. In the sense, the one village may have 5 SHGs. But a cluster may have 20-30 SHGs also. Cluster in the sense, maybe a group of villages will have a large number of SHGs. Now there is a view that we can federate these SHGs from a group to a federation. So the federation will have 100 SHGs or something with the members also. Now here, I have to give a small caution to you. The federation will undertake a role of a credit facilitation. The federation will only facilitate the credit process. But will not undertake the role of a credit provider. Let me repeat this role. The federations can come up. They can undertake a role of credit facilitation so that the groups get the credit. But federation need not be the credit purveyor or the credit provider. That's the thing we have to remember as far as the federations are concerned. There is a literature they are saying, can the federations undertake financial services too? My answer is, the federations do credit facilitation, but not credit provider. That's what I feel is more important role for the federation to perform. Who are the stakeholders who are associated with the movement? Maybe we have the financing banks, maybe RRBs, regional rural banks, maybe cooperatives, commercial banks, small finance banks. These are basically the financing banks who come into picture as a major stakeholder. The second stakeholders are the policymakers. Maybe Reserve Bank of India, NABARD, government. These are at the policy level. The third, who are the promoting agencies? As I said to you earlier slide also, the NGOs could be the promoting agencies because the social mobilization is very important, and that can be done by NGOs. There could be passionate individuals who are interested in the community welfare or who are interested in promotion of these kind of groups. They can also undertake the promotion of groups. There are associations of farmers in the villages who can also join the process of promoting the groups. So these are the stakeholders, various stakeholders who come into the process. You know. The most important, of course, the stakeholders is the poor themselves, you know, because these are the people who have to be mobilized. That mobilization is done by the NGOs, the banks do finance, policymakers' role is performed by RBI, NABARD, government. Government departments come forward, maybe agriculture department, maybe horticulture department, maybe women and child development department. They also do the role of group promotion or formulation of groups, linking them with the banking system. So these are the stakeholders who join the process of SHG movement in this country, you know. Each stakeholder has his own role, actually. In 1992, when this movement was started, RBI took 3 important decisions. And those decisions are, one, informal groups are accepted as clients of the banking system. I'm repeating this. Informal groups are accepted as clients of the bank. One. Second, collateral lending is allowed, collateral lending is ensured for these groups. No collateral, physical collaterals are to be offered to the banking system for getting the loan. No lien is created against the kind of deposits of the groups with the banks, actually. These are the groups which are financed without specifying the purpose, without specifying the activity, the loans are extended by the banking system. Now, let me tell you, these three decisions in 92 helped these groups to get linked with the banking system. One, informal groups are accepted as clients. Second, collateral free loans. Third, purpose free loan. Need not specify that I require a loan for a fertilizers, or I require a loan for child care, or I require a loan for education of my child. They need not write it. 2005 was declared as the International Year of Microcredit. That also gave a boost to this whole movement. But that is only a point which I thought on the sidelines, I thought I should share with you. So the important decisions of Reserve Bank in 1992. This is the kind of comparison I thought I must share with you between the PSEs and the self-help groups. Basically, I will look to the kind of SHG column. You know. Basically, I said they are informal groups. They are not registered under the Act. Size is up to 20. In case of the PSEs, the size is quite large. They are quite heterogeneous. Please remember in PACS. PACS is Primary Agricultural Credit Society, which are the village level institutions as per the cooperative sector are concerned in the country. We have something like 95,000 cooperatives in this country, PSEs in the country. But if I look to those institutions, they are more heterogeneous. That's what I am making a comparison now. They are more heterogeneous, whereas SHGs are homogeneous groups. You know, they are small groups, about 20. In PACS could be maybe 600, 700 members can be there. Here the processes in case of SHGs are very simple. In case of the PSEs, the processes are relatively complex, you know. Savings are mandatory in case of SHGs, which is not the story with the PSEs, you know. All the members of the SHGs, they join the process of management. In the sense, they join the process of decision making. In PSEs, few members who are in the executives, they only manage the whole show. So these are the kind of small comparisons which we are going and understanding. Because normally there is a confusion. Are these not the same? No, these are not. Because PACS are more formal. PACS are registered under the Cooperative Societies Act. But SHGs are not registered. Basically, cooperatives have a lesser recovery. Whereas in SHG, we have a better recovery because we have created a social capital. We have created a networking among the group members. They have a peer pressure, so therefore the recoveries are good, you know. Basically, the kind of operations, you know, many people join the operations of these institutions, you know. Purpose is not to be specified in case of the SHGs. We have a lot of flexibility as far as the SHGs are concerned, so that point was made here, you know. Social capital, I repeatedly said, in SHG, we do create a social capital, we do create a peer pressure, we do ensure a continuity of the group through a mechanism of peer pressure, which is not the story with the PSEs. When I look to role of NABARD, one role I told you, basically they are the policy-making institutions, you know. They are associated with, you know, they provide even the grant support for formation of the SHGs. They provide the training support. They provide the refinance support. The grant support is provided for formation of the SHGs. And they are also associated with the two major training programs. One is the Livelihood Enterprise Development Program, and another is the Micro Enterprise Development Program. Because ultimately, we expect these people to get some kind of training, and which I referred in the earlier case, we require a training so that these people, they get trained and they undertake the economic activities on their own so that they develop the they join the mainstream, you know. Because this is the institution which is working with the SHGs for last three decades. And as I said, the refinance is provided, the training support is provided, the policy support is provided, the grants come from the NABARD for formation of the groups also. And they arrange also, they support even for the training programs, which is a part of the credit plus approach for this movement. What are the specifics, you know? Because as I said, we must understand the niceties. No security is ensured to get credit. No security is required. They can get the credit collateral free. Sanction and monitoring of the loans, the responsibility is transferred by the banks to the groups. This is a very important change which you have to understand. The banks undertake the financing, they undertake the sanctioning process, they undertake the monitoring process also. But in case of the SHGs, these functions are transferred from the banks to the SHGs. So the SHG member undertake the observations of sanctioning the loans, monitoring the loans, and even getting kind of, you know, even recovering the loans, you know. That's the kind of dimension which you have to understand. These, please remember one important dimension here. All members do not come to the, they do not come at the same point of time for getting the credit. That's a dimension we must understand, you know. That is, otherwise, then they will not be able to rationalize the credit actually. Here, few members come forward first for the credit. Then once they repay, the other members come forward and get the credit. You know? This is how the process goes on. Capacity building, you know, is undertaken by the group promoting agencies, which I said, the basically the non-governmental organizations, they do go for the capacity building. Of course, they do get some support from the NABARD side. This social capital, I repeatedly said that, because this process creates a kind of peer pressure, it creates a kind of, you know, networking, which helps the banks to have the better recovery, and all those things go on. This is the sixth dimension which I have written is very important. The lending is in a progressive manner. In the sense, the initial loans are of a smaller amount, but as the group gets matured over a period of time, the higher loan gets sanctioned by the banking system. Suppose in the group gets first 25,000 rupees or 50,000 rupees, the next time they may get 1 lakh rupee loan. Then there or not, they may get even 3 lakhs rupees loan, you know. So the loan process is a gradual process. It is not that in one shot they'll get 3 lakhs of rupees, no. It is basically they take the loan, they repay the loan to the banking system, then the bank goes for the second round of loan, third round of loan. Maybe some of the groups we have seen, they are about a decade old. Maybe 8 to 10 years old groups are there. So this happens with the passage of time. What is the purpose? You know, normally we, you know, you go to bank, first they will ask you, what for you want a loan? You know, in case of SHG, no purpose is to be specified in the application. This is an important thing we have to understand. No purpose is to be specified. Whether it is a commercial bank or a regional rural banks or anything, we don't have to write the purpose for which the credit is borrowed by the SHG. But, please remember, the members, when they apply to their group, they write the purpose for which they are taking the credit. Let me repeat this thing. As far as the group to the bank is concerned, no purpose has to be specified. But the group members, they have to write what for the loan is required. Maybe the loan will be required for income generating activity by the group member. Maybe the loan will be required for the social need like housing, education, marriage of a child. Or third could be the debt swapping. They have taken a loan from a money lender. They want to repay the loan of a money lender because it's a very costly loan. So they want a debt swapping. So that they have to specify for what purpose they are borrowing from the group. But group need not indicate the purpose for which the loan is being taken from the banking system. That is something we have to remember here. What is the quantum? I told you basically, these are the loans which are sanctioned in a gradual manner. Not in the first shot they'll get 10, 20 lakh rupees. No. Absolutely no chance. First loan could be 25,000, 50,000 rupees. These are collateral free loans, please remember. Now the government says up to 20 lakh rupees loan under National Rural Livelihood Mission can be sanctioned, which is a collateral free loan. These loans are sanctioned in the ratio of 1:4. In the sense, savings are 10,000, they may get a loan of 40,000. If the savings are of 50,000, they will get a loan of 2 lakh rupees. So 1:4. Savings 1, loan will be 4. So 1:4 is the ratio which is, but the banks have the discretion. They can even sanction a larger ratio. In the sense, they can sanction even 1:6, provided the group is matured, the group has beyond 3 years time they have survived, and they are undertaking the operations as per the satisfaction of the banking system. So, the loans, higher loans can be sanctioned for the matured groups at the discretion of the banks. This is what I explained to you, and I'm coming to it again twice, you know. The reason is very simple. These 7 R, they indicate to me the quality of the group. What is the quality of the group? Suppose I want to rate the, as we rate the students through a kind of exam. So basically, these are the 7 dimensions, or 7 R I call them. First is the regular meeting, whether the groups have the regular meeting, whether the groups have the regular savings, whether the group undertake the regular internal lending among themselves, whether they have the regular books of accounts, whether they have the kind of, you know, regular credit flow from the banking system, whether they share their experiences on a regular basis through the meetings, weekly meetings, maybe fortnightly meetings. And the last one is, do they have a rotation of leadership? This is very important, so that one or two leaders of the group do not take the entire benefit of the loan which is sanctioned to the group as a whole. So this is very important. We must rotate a leadership. Others should take over at, maybe not regularly, but at periodical places, maybe after 2 years, 3 years, the leader should undergo a change if we want that the group has to sustain for a longer period. And this is, I call them, the quality of the group is decided through the 7 mechanisms. What are the steps taken by the banking system in promotion of the SAGs and their linkage with the banks, you know? What the banks do? First, sensitize the staff who are working, especially in the rural and semi-urban areas. This is the first task the banks have to do. Liaison with the NGOs. NGOs' role is important because I said social mobilization is important. Now, who will do that? Banks may not have time for that. Maybe they take the support of the NGOs who help these banks to go for the social mobilization, form these groups, link them with the banking system. Maybe the banks can also have the kind of lending to the federations, you know. Through federations, they can lend it to the groups actually. Then fourth important, which is very important, is create awareness about the financial literacy. As I said earlier, the literacy means you create the importance of planning, create the importance of the kind of products which the banking system has, so that you use the products and services which are available with the banking system. This also requires a kind of, you know, financial literacy. I will tell you, even they have to be told these loans have to be repaid at a proper time so that their score doesn't get affected. Ultimately, you know it. When you go to the bank, they look to your CIBIL score. So CIBIL score is based on the, if you have taken the loans, how promptly you have repaid the loans. That kind of awareness you have to create among these people. That if you do not repay the loan in time, possibly your score of the group or individual, the kind of, you know, rating will come down. And you may not get the credit of a larger amount next time. That's what we have to create awareness through financial literacy. Basically, what we do is, these are the kind of, you know, the cash credit facilities which are provided to these groups. Basically, these are women groups, you know. And we have something like 150 backward left-wing extremism district, or LWE, what we call. These groups are promoted in these districts on priority basis so that they are brought into the mainstream, you know. This is very important. These loans are normally sanctioned at 7% rate of interest, you know, under NRLM, National Rural Livelihood Mission. The loans are sanctioned at 7%. I shall have more details on this when we go to the next chapter. But at the moment, it is suffice to say that loans are available at 7% rate of interest. I told you there is a graduation process, you know, graduation of SAGs and their members. The graduation can happen in two ways. One, the individual member can have an individual account in the banking system. And second, he or she undertakes a micro enterprise of her own. You know. Maybe a small enterprise, as we have seen the picture once, you know, that small enterprise, micro enterprise picture, they undertake an economic activity. Could be an existing activity they can expand. But the graduation will be in two ways: open individual account or go for the separate enterprise or go for small own enterprise. Even some of the micro enterprise can provide the employment to other members. That is also happening. So these are the ways to go for the graduation, you know. Basically, these groups, they undertake the income generating activities, and the experience in the field about is showing. I'm just saying, you, this is a broad conclusion I'm telling you, but maybe about 30-40% of the people, they go for the income generating activities because They have to be trained, actually. They need a escort service. Once I provide the training and I provide a escort service, my proportion of people undertaking the income generating activities goes up. For example, in Andhra, I remember, we have a kind of support like this, where we have seen about 2/3 of the SHG members have started their own enterprises. So it goes up the moment we skill them, the moment we provide them the marketing support, the moment they know that the credit support is going to be available. So the extent goes up, you know. The very important, this what we discussed earlier also, these group loans, they are given at cheaper rate of interest and has reduced the dependency of these members on the money lenders in the villages. This is one of the most important thing which has happened if we talk of the SHGs. And the second thing part already I told you, that is something on women empowerment, where women join the process of decision making on the family front or in the panchayats. This is what is happening. Let me go a little beyond now. SHGs are changing, you know, their livelihood activities. Earlier, most of the SHGs, when we used to go to field, we used to see, they used to undertake papad, pickle, powder. What I call them peas, you know, pea. But now I'm seeing a change, or we expect a change to happen in terms of P to E. E in the sense, maybe the groups have to go now more for engineering, they have to go for electricals, they have to go for electronics. Now you will say, is it feasible? Yes, it's feasible. Because with some training and handholding support, or I call them credit support and credit plus approach, these P to E is possible. This is what is the graduation of SHGs again. Moving from livelihood activities of P to E. Moving from papad, pickle, powders to engineering, electrical, electronics. Maybe a small thing like, you know, even the repair of fans, repair of mixers. These are all now the things which these people undertake in the villages with some kind of training, of course, which will have to be ensured, you know. We observed in the field that there is a gradually correlationship between a credit and the income. So therefore, the banks have to give more credit to these groups at concessional level. At successive intervals, we have to provide them a credit. Because please remember, this has to be a process and not a one-time shot. One shot will not help you. Even if you give credit once, it is not that their poverty will be eradicated or they will come out of poverty. You have to provide a credit support on a continuous basis. Depending upon the needs of the people, the needs are changing. The moment the needs are changing, they require a larger credit support at a subsequent intervals.